You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
And good morning, everybody, and welcome into what is normally Up North News Radio and Pat Kreitlow. Pat Kreitlow is not here, as it turns out. He is on a well-earned vacation. I am Todd Allball coming to you from the Civic Media headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin. But have no fear, some of the regular will be here. Mr. Greg Bach is on the board down at Radio Park in Racine. Good morning, Greg. Pat is on vacation. I am happy to be keeping the chair warm here on this Friday, February 7th, 2025, 6 minutes past the hour of 6 o'clock. Glad to have you along. Thank you for holding my hand. And my voice, it turns out to be a little bit more grovelly at 6 a.m. versus noon.
That's what people up in the morning are like, oh, what is that? What is that buttery voice that's getting us all, you know, awake and ready for the day? It's Todd Alba in the morning.
Yeah, so normally, if you're not aware, I have the show across Civic Media from noon until 2. So, you know, this is about the time I start thinking about getting up in the morning. And then I'll occasionally turn you and Pat on and listen to a little bit of that. I might hop over to another one of our shows and watch a little Good Morning or CBS This Morning, have some coffee. But here I am. And you know what? It wasn't that hard because I went to bed about 9 o'clock last night, a little bit after. And I thought, well, that's pretty good.
I had a very early night. I woke up this morning, and my wife wakes up also very early. And I'm like, what time did I go to bed? And I'm thinking like, oh, 7 or 8. She goes, 5. You went to bed at 5. I was like,
no way.
Yeah, it was just one of those. I didn't sleep well the night before, and I came home after work, and I was kind of dozing off on the couch. I'm like, you know what? I'll just go upstairs. I'll play with the dog in the bedroom. And then before I knew it, it was the next time I woke up. It was like 11:30 at night. I'm like, oh. Okay.
Oh, all right, then.
Well, then.
I'll do this, then.
Yeah, exactly.
No, because today is National Wear Red Day to recognize cancer with or women with cancer and that dreaded disease and bring awareness to it. So I thought, well, I saw that. I thought, well, I'll pull out the old red flannel this morning. And I thought I'd text Greg because here's the thing. Sometimes I'll do something and then people are like, well, thanks a lot for telling me. I thought, well, I don't want to hear that in the morning. So I'll let Greg know. And I never heard anything. But turns out Greg was already in bed.
Yeah, I was dreaming of lollipops and lollipops.
Well, it should be a fun morning here. I have several things to talk about. As it turns out these days in the news, there is lots to talk about. We'll get to what the Bucks did on the trading circuit a little bit here in just a minute. By the way, yeah. I know you co-host Matinier on air with Greg, or with Greg Matinier, with Jane. See, here, Todd, more coffee.
We've become more coffee. One.
Mayor Matinier on air with our friend Jane Matinier.
Yeah.
You guys were talking about some of these things yesterday with your producer Kelvin for that show. I had no idea that Kelvin was a true Bucks fan.
Yes, he is. He I told him before the show, I'm like, we're going to have Paul. He's like, oh, trust me, I have a lot of opinions. I'm like, that's great. Because I know basketball tangentially through the fact that, like, we talk about it on the show. We have, Luke Mathers is a huge fan. Right. Dan Schaefer is a huge fan. So I get these tidbits, and then you hear Mike Clemens, so I know a little bit, but Calvin has like real thoughts on it where he could go deep into statistics. I'm like say more, master of the round ball.
No, he was great. I listened to that whole segment, and it wasn't just a take. Like, he knew his stuff, so I was very impressed with Kelvin. But we'll take a little bit of not quite as deep, but we'll give you the highlights of the Bucks end of the trading deal. Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area and our political editor at Civic Media, was on our show yesterday right before the deadline.
Yeah.
And he was a little, he was like a cat in a room full of rocking chairs. He was just like, I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know. He was very nervous about the end of the deadline. So we'll take a look at that. Also take a look at, there was a forum yesterday. The West Politics publication had a forum here in Madison yesterday for the state superintendent candidates. Coming up, of course, the primary. That's right. This month, a primary on Tuesday, February 18th. There is a three-way race for a state school superintendent. Two of those will go on to the April 1st spring, or the general election in the spring. And there are some local races, primaries as well. Don't forget, early in-person voting is now underway across the state of Wisconsin. So as they say, check your local listings for times, but it may vary in terms of how you do it in your municipality, but Wisconsinites have the right for early voting right now, so don't forget to do that, or if you can't vote on Election Day proper on February 18th. So we'll take a look at a couple of the things that the candidates who did show up, Dr. Jill Underley and Superintendent of Public Schools at Sauk Prairie, Jeff Wright, were there yesterday, so we'll take a look at what they said as well. And, you know, Greg and I will find something to talk about. And we have, of course, This Day in Music History. Lots mm-hmm. going on.
Yeah.
Everything from Garth Brooks to the Beatles and everything in between. And turns out, noodles. It's a big noodle day.
Oh.
And we'll explain that. Yes. Well, one of my favorite, I used to be able to make this dish really well, but I haven't done it in years and years and years. And so I'm not sure if I could still do it. So we'll be cooking with Todd and Greg a little Ooh. Bit later on in this show as well. Right now, though, it is 12 minutes past the hour of 6 o'clock across the state of Wisconsin. Let's see some of the temperatures right now across the state. Oh, Brittany Merlot, the lovely and talented Brittany Merlot, will be in with a little bit of a weather for us after the 7 o'clock hour as well. In all seriousness, looks like a pretty significant weather system coming across the upper two-thirds of the state of Wisconsin tonight into tomorrow. Several advisories are out. Basically, if you know where Wisconsin Dells is, in the kind of the northern part of south central Wisconsin. So for Wisconsin Dells, just draw a line east and west. Above that line, most folks above that line are going to get some pretty good precipitation. And you know what? The folks up at Hayward for the Birkebeiner, they could use it, because of course last year we were up there mm-hmm. and they had to bring in a lot of man-made snow, man or person-made snow, I guess is the right thing to say. But they got it done, the Birkebeiner, but I think they're going to be very happy to have some natural snowfall here over the weekend. So temperatures around the state, it is zero right now in Superior, Wisconsin, a balmy zero. A little warmer than that, 10 degrees up over in Bayfield. Looks like three right now in Hayward, speaking of the Birkebeiner area. It is 3 degrees right now in Eau Claire, 5 degrees in Hudson, going to, down to La Crosse right now. Looks like 14 degrees there, 16 degrees in Richland Center, 7 degrees in Wausau, 9 degrees in Green Bay. And Greg Bach, always, he brings the sunshine, he brings the warmth. It is 16 degrees above zero down in Racine at Radio Park. How about that, Greg?
Jealous.
Yes, a little bit. although here it looks like right now it's 12 in Madison. So there you go.
I see. Okay, I get it. Madison's always got to be cool. You know, you can't just
no. Well, we're literally cool this morning. those are the temperatures again. Much of the precipitation in northern Wisconsin is expected to get underway a little bit later today. As we said, Brittany Merlot will be in just a little while or in the second hour to give us the complete weather forecast for you across the state of Wisconsin. Let's take a look at a couple of sports headlines this morning. 14 minutes past the hour of 6 o'clock, and Pat Kreitlow is on a well-deserved vacation, as is the name proper, Up North News Radio. So we're calling this, what we do is we throw a bunch of names in a hat, and we just pick it out, and this morning it turns out it's Civic Media this morning. So that's what we're calling it. According to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel this morning, the Milwaukee Bucks have traded newly acquired Patrick Baldwin Jr. to the Spurs. The Bucks traded Baldwin to San Antonio last night, or at the deadline yesterday, the Journal Sentinel learned. The Bucks also sent cash to the Spurs. Not Cash Patel, as it turns out. But no, actually exactly. Actual cash to the Spurs to take on Baldwin's contract, which gives the Bucks an open roster spot. The Journal Sentinel also learned the Bucks also received a 2026 top 55 protected second round pick from the Spurs. That's a long title.
That's a lot of information. Like, you're like, right? Okay, I'm going to need to go Wikipedia some of this information. But I mean, I think Calvin and Paul explained all of that yesterday. Like, there's these frozen picks and can't do anything. I'm like, man, this is a confusing game. Really confusing game.
Greg, you're 100% right. And that's why I said yesterday to Dan Schaefer, look, I'm a casual Bucks fan.
Yeah.
I don't know why. The NBA, this is a perfect example of the rules and all the insider stuff. I don't get. I cheer for Giannis.
Yes.
Used to Chris Middleton. And I hope they win, and I'm excited. Because for me, the NBA really comes down. The NBA starts when the playoffs begin. It's just some of these games, there's so many of them, and the season is so long. For me, it's just too long.
Well, and that's the thing too, is in the beginning of the Bucks season this year was not good, and as someone who's sort of becoming, I think where I'm going where you are is I'm a casual fan. I enjoy talking about it here and there, but I'm like, the Bucks are doing terrible right now. Like in the beginning of the season, all the fans are like, "Yeah, it doesn't matter." I'm like, "What do you mean it doesn't matter? Like, it matters. Like, tell me why it doesn't?" And then they explain it. I'm like, "Oh, okay." So basically, I treat basketball the same way I treat a flight. When Bucks fans are nervous and scared, that's when I'll start getting nervous for them. Other than that, I'll be like, "Yeah, call me sometime in the spring when they start playing the important basketball."
Yeah, I agree. I agree. So the line, for those of you who do know what this means, the Bucks also received a 2026 top 55 protected second round pick from the Spurs by way of Utah. So it turns out, Jane Matner will be very happy about this. It turns out they'll be singing a lot of Book of Mormon.
Yeah,
so that's what that means.
But no matter what, you got to switch flights in Atlanta, so it doesn't matter.
Right.
what a dumb joke.
I like that one.
Thank you.
Baldwin, briefly, is he a Baldwin brother, by the way? Is he Alan?
Yes, he is. Sure. He's the youngest unknown Baldwin.
The real sports people are saying these guys are a couple of goofs, and they're right.
Yeah.
Baldwin was briefly with the franchise after being part of the deal that brought Kyle Kuzma to Milwaukee and sent Chris Middleton to Washington. It will be a four-team trade that includes the New York Knicks. Baldwin, now here's what's interesting. Baldwin is a University of Wisconsin Milwaukee alumnus.
Go Panthers!
And he was the 28th, number 28 pick in the 2022 NBA draft by Golden State. He played one season for the Warriors before being traded to the Wizards. He apparently only appeared in 22 games. So there you go. We'll be back with a little bit of CBS Civic Media this morning with Bach and Todd after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to Civic Media this morning. I'm Todd Allbault along with Greg Bach. Where's the coffee? It is 6:21. Greg Brock? That's what I tried to call you. It is 6:21 in the morning. Pat Kreitlow is somewhere south, putting his feet in the sand. Well-deserved rest. Good for him,
yeah.
Right? Absolutely. He and Up North News Radio will be back in a matter of days. I am here today. But hold on to your bonnets. Get your sterilized gloves and white coat out on Monday because it is going to be Bach and the Doc for the first 4 days, the lovely, the talented, the effervescent, and always fun Dr. Kristen Lyerly is going to be in the host chair here Monday through Thursday along with Greg. I seriously can't wait because here is someone that I have so much respect for and admire so much because of what she's done, what she does professionally, but just the person that she is. And she's someone who's just, as the old phrase in politics goes, she is somebody that you can have and have fun having a beer with. Yes. Maybe not at 6 in the morning, but but
you know,
maybe.
She's definitely going to hand you a Bloody Mary and go, here you go, honey. I hope you slept well.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm very excited. Are you excited?
I'm very excited. I love Dr. Lyerly. I love learning. Like, seriously, I learn so much from her every time she's on the show because she is able to bring, I mean, fundamentally important information from her field and from politics to the people, and also do it in a way that is just so engaging, energetic, and comes from a place that because she really cares about people, regardless of who you are, who you voted for, she cares about all people because that's her job as a doctor, to care for and take care of people.
Yeah, absolutely. So Dr. Lyerly will be in the host chair Monday through Thursday next week, and then I return to spend Valentine's Day with Greg next Friday. That'll be fantastic.
Fine.
So looking forward to that. And then Kreitler will be back as long as they let him in the country. We'll find out whether in these times, Greg, that is no longer a given.
That's very, 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 very true. We did get you were talking about the weather earlier in the show, and we did get a message from Roger and Stevens Points listening to us on WFHR. Said Antigo schools will be closed today due to illness. Wow. The closures allow the district to conduct a comprehensive and thorough deep cleaning of the facility. I was expecting snow. But no, right? Okay. Well, if you are living up in that area, just know that your schools, the Antigo schools, are closed today. All right.
Well, Roger, thank you very much for giving that information to us, and thanks for your listenership up there on our great station WFHR. Have you been to that station, Greg?
I have not, honestly. I've been. You know, at the old WAUK studio in Waukesha, or some call it a used dentist office. We're here in Radio Park, which is a luxurious studio.
Yeah.
And I've been to the Madison headquarters, but I've never ventured out to any of the places, which I really would like to do in 2025.
Well, we'll get you out there in a couple.
Yeah.
You can come along with Jane and I. We'll figure out something. We'll pay somebody off.
Yeah.
The FHR, it's a beautiful studio and beautiful people. And when I was there this fall on one of our swings to the state, what I was struck by most, it reminded me so much of my home station in Richland Center, which is now part of Civic Media, WRCO. People from the community were constantly coming in, dropping off things like, oh, here's a church fundraiser dinner for somebody who lost their house. Here's information about the Little League or whatever, the football, Pee Wee League. It's all community driven.
Yeah.
And that's what's so critical about these stations throughout Civic Media. And what I love about it, and I keep saying this on our show, and I've heard you and Jane talk about this as well, it's easy to get overwhelmed by the massive news coming out of Washington every day. And I know I have thought to myself at times, even with the privilege of getting to be in front of a microphone 2 days or 2 hours a day, what can I really do? And I think the more we focus locally, it's those local stations, those local activities, those local school board races where we still have opportunities to have direct influence. And I think it just makes us better when we're involved in our communities.
Absolutely. I think, you know, it sounds cliche and people might shrug their shoulders and go, oh my gosh, this guy with his... But it's about getting out there in the community. And it is also about finding out who your local reps are. Who are the people passing the laws that directly affect not your state, not even your country, but your block? And going out there and talking to them and talking to people and getting the information you know out there, but also, you know, bringing a pie too, or just sitting down and saying, hey, you know, because we can have those discussions. We can have those conversations. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you the people on my street, we all didn't vote for the same person. But if I said, hey, what's concerning you about our neighborhood? We probably agree on a lot more than we disagree.
Yeah, totally. I agree with that.
There you go.
As it turns out. So thank you for that information, though, Roger. And again, Anago schools closed today due to illness. It is. I mean, something I know. A norovirus has spread through a certain area. I mean, we here at the studios in Madison, we had about 4 or 5 days when the only well people here in Madison, un-ill people, were myself, Zommers, Aaron Zommers, my producer, and Sage Weil, our owner.
Wow.
Everybody else had gotten sick to some degree. And so I was, where are they at? I got the Clorox wipes around here somewhere. And I'm like, I don't know. Exactly, right? Exactly.
Someone was preparing.
Greg's got it there in the studios in Racine. A couple of quick headlines for you, then we'll come back and talk a little bit more on the other side about this state of Wisconsin superintendent race. Internationally, around 10,000 employees of the U.S. Agency for International Development are the targets of President Donald Trump's job cuts today. Multiple sources are telling CNN and others that nearly all but around 300 USAID personnel deemed essential are expected to be fired, furloughed, or put on leave in the coming hours. USAID is charged with delivering humanitarian assistance overseas, but critics say its programs are wasteful and promote a liberal agenda. The Trump administration says dismantling the agency is grounded in efforts to save government money, though some of the experts have warned that freezing its funds will intensify global humanitarian crises. Greg, when we come back, I'm going to, you know, it's, I guess, maybe a bit self-serving because Dan Schaefer asked me to take a stab at writing a column in the recombobulation area this week, which I did. I know a little something about USAID.
Okay.
So we'll come back and we'll discuss that. And we'll also discuss a little bit about the state superintendent race as well here on a Tuesday morning, Friday morning, the 7th of February. Where's my coffee? Why did I say Tuesday? It's Friday. Good morning, Americans. It's Friday. I'm not Paul Harvey, nor Pat Kreitlow. I'm All Ball. He's Bach. It is 6:29. Stay tuned to the Civic Media Radio Network.
If you see your brother standing by the road with a heavy load from the seeds he sowed, and if you see your sister falling by the way, just stop and say, when you're going the wrong way.
And welcome back to Civic Media this morning. I'm Todd Alba. It is 6:34 on a Friday morning, the 7th of February, 2025, along with Greg Bach. Glad to be here. Mr. Pat Kreitlow at Up North News Radio will return in just a few days. We are filling in for him while he has a well-earned vacation here. It is a beautiful morning across Wisconsin, a little chilly. Temperatures in the single digits for the most part, unless you're up in beautiful Superior, where it is a balmy zero. Right now, still remains in Superior. Brittany Merlot will be in about a half an hour or so with a weather update telling us about a major weather system that's going to be bearing down on parts of Wisconsin later today and into tomorrow. Expect some significant snowfalls in the northern part of Wisconsin, maybe even the central part. Basically, a line from Wisconsin Dells east and west. Anything north of that line is going to see some precipitation. South of the line, towards Madison here, a little bit less. The only place that's looking like that might not receive any significant precipitation is right along the state line. But the rest of us across the state of Wisconsin are going to get some much-needed precipitation. That's great news for our agriculture folks, as it seems weird to say this in winter, but Greg Bach, we are in a pretty significant drought situation for our ag producers right now, which could get really, really serious come spring here if we don't get some precipitation.
I feel like we were at the same place last year too. Like it's just, they would not, the planting season just did not go as great because they were not getting as much rainfall as they needed. Mm-hmm. And it's just, we seem to always be in this place now where the planting season is threatened by drought.
Yeah, it really is. And so Brittany will tell us how much snow we can expect and how that might help some of our ag producers across the state of Wisconsin as we move into the weekend. Want to spend a couple of minutes here on following up on this story we talked about right before the break. And then get into some more education news here in the state of Wisconsin. Talked about this story making headlines this morning about USAID. And I get that a lot of people are going to go, well, I'm not sure what that does, really. So the story this morning across the wires is around 10,000 employees of the U.S. Agency for International Development are the targets of President Donald Trump's job cuts today. So, what multiple places are reporting this morning is all but around 300 USAID personnel deemed essential are expected to be fired or furloughed on leave today in the coming hours. And I know something about this, just, you know, if you're a person of faith, I guess you would say through a blessing, or if you're a person of the universe, you'd say just it was meant to be. I'll give you the quick version. And again, the story is at recombobulationarea.news or on civicmedia.us. And I wrote about growing up in Southwest Wisconsin in Richland Center, a town of about 5,000 people. And we only had one black family in our school district while I was growing up in the 70s and into the early 80s. And that changed in the mid 80s when U.S. Senator Bob Casten, who, you know, probably would never happen today. He happened to be a Republican here in Wisconsin, conservative. But one of the things he did was he co-authored a bill and championed its funding in Congress, bipartisan bill, which for those of us of a certain age in the 80s, there was essentially a faux war going on in Central America between the United States and the Soviet Union vis-a-vis Cuba. And so the United States was funding one side with weapons and money, and the Soviet Union was funding the pro-communist side to paint a broad brush in Central America without ever declaring war on each other. And, of course, the victims were the Central Americans in El Salvador in particular, which I know a lot about. Over 80,000 people were killed in that civil war funded largely by the U.S. and the Soviet Union. So U.S. Senator Bob Casten of Wisconsin said, hey, why don't we maybe take a portion of that money going into military spending and allocate it towards education? And we'll run it through the State Department, and it will be administered by USAID. And what it did was it set up a program called the Central American Scholarship Program, or CASP was the acronym. And what it did, it was a marvelous program that identified students that were from very, very poor home lives. Many of these students grew up in homes of tin roofs and dirt floors, but they graduated at or near the top of their high school classes academically. And the program said, let's identify these students, offer them two-year full-ride scholarships to come to a university in the U.S. and study either business or computer science. They'll get associate degrees. The requirement will then be that they must return to their home country for at least 2 years. And it was a really simple but important concept to lift from within, with the idea being, you know, if Central Americans are safe physically and also economically and from a food standpoint, and if they have food and they're able to make a living and pay their rent or have a small house or whatever, they'll most likely stay there, and it will stem some of this illegal, quote unquote, migration to the United States. Because if you talk to most Central Americans, they'll say, I love it here. I love my family. I love the nice weather. You got the beach in a lot of these countries and my way of life. But I don't feel safe and I can't make a living. And that's what pushes many of them to risk their lives to come to the United States. And so the idea was we could actually do something real about the quote unquote immigration problem if we lift from within. And it was a tremendously successful program. And it was run through Georgetown University in Washington, D.C. And Wisconsin was one of the states that was identified to work with. In particular, the University of Wisconsin system, as it was known at the time, and our two-year campuses, such as they were called center campuses. So it was UW Center Barron. It was Barron County Rice Lake. It was UW Center Richland, Richland County. It was UW Center Waukesha in Waukesha County. And so at the time, if memory serves, because I was going to one of them at Richland Center at the time, I think of the 13 two-year campuses, like 10 of them participated in this program. So every fall, you'd get about 18 to 20 students from Central America that would come in for 2 years. And particularly small towns like Richland Center and Rice Lake, where you didn't really have a minority population, it was so refreshing. And yes, there were some yahoos that caused some problems, not the students, but the people living in town, just due to, you know, not knowing anybody like that. But 95% of the experience was positive on both sides, because you learned something about a foreign country. They lived with families. They went to our church services. They joined like Rotary clubs locally, and they became part of the community. So our family hosted three of those students, two from El Salvador, one from Belize. One of them, his name was Silas, that I got to know very well. He got his two-year homestay requirement deferred for 2 years and ended up going to UW Platteville with me to finish up his degree. And fast forward, when I was working for U.S. Congressman Scott Klug, who happened to be, yes, they don't exist anymore, a moderate Republican that represented Madison of all places, and we had Wisconsin cheese producer, dairy producers, in particular Sargento Cheese of Plymouth. And you know, they started to get into that market in Central America, but they needed some help cutting through, you know, some bureaucratic red tape, we'll just say. So I ended up going down, meeting with U.S. Ambassador Ann Patterson along with my buddy Silas, and she was just really taken by our story of how we met through a program through USAID. And so she helped because she had been appointed by former Democratic President Bill Clinton, and she once again, in a bipartisan way, helped us to cut through that. And more markets were opened up in Central America, Latin America, to Wisconsin dairy producers. And also, USAID was instrumental in helping Salvadoran coffee farmers look at this thing called coffee rust. I know that's the layman's term. It's basically a fungus that is made worse by climate change, because high-end coffee has to be grown at a higher altitude so that it's a cooler climate. And with climate change now, many of these coffee grows on trees, if you don't know that, and these coffee trees were dying because of climate change in El Salvador. And so USAID worked with the farmers to do a hybrid to adapt and lessen the coffee rust. Some of those farmers were saved. Others, the economic impact was lessened. And then fast forward a little bit later, after I got out of politics, I ended up starting a small coffee business, and we bought coffee and have other coffee producers or coffee businesses in Wisconsin bought coffee from those same farmers that were aided and helped through USAID to stem coffee rust. I tell you that long story only because I want people to understand that when we read stories like this, when we hear stories, we talk about stories, these big government entities, USAID and all the rest, it seems like a faraway place. It seems like, well, there must be a lot of waste out there. Of course, that doesn't affect me. That story right there, I hope, helps you realize that's one guy, me. Replicate that by hundreds of thousands of not millions of times around the globe. And this narrative that's being put out there by my former party, I'm a Republican who left the party in 2011, pre-Trump. You can say what you want about George W. Bush, but even the most ardent liberal progressive will concede that what he did in his administration, working with USAID and PEPFAR, which is a program to stem the spread of HIV/AIDS in Africa, has saved millions, like over 20 million lives due to PEPFAR. Former Republican Congressman Mark Green of Green Bay was the last administrator of USAID under the first Trump administration. He was the ambassador to Tanzania before that. He spent his life working around the globe with his wife on these issues. So this is not a lefty program, quote unquote. This is not some big bloated thing. Of course, every government program has you know, places to, or nearly everyone, to have efficiencies, to have it reviewed, to see where we can cut, absolutely. But that program changed my life. Because going to El Salvador, I've been there 39 times now over 25 plus years, it made me realize what's important, which is if you're surrounded by people that love and accept you for who you are, you have good but simple food and music that lifts the soul, you're rich. I'm very rich for my relationships. My two godsons come from that program, basically. They're half Salvadoran. These programs affect each of us every day. And I hope that puts some context into it, Greg.
Yes. I mean, that story is amazing. And I think those are the stories that need to be shared. And I don't disagree with you and many people. Of course, there's places in government to cut spending and lessen the bloat and minimize bureaucracy. But in programs like this, this is the stuff where it's like, hey, maybe we should give them a little more to do a little more good for the people. That's what we're supposed to be doing, is helping people. But
right?
It's through stories like this, Todd, that we can get an understanding of what it's really all about. So thank you.
Thank you for allowing me the time. But I look at Wisconsin ag producers, who, of course, are most of our red-leaning counties of Wisconsin. And again, here we have an example of the Trump administration cutting a program that directly helps Wisconsin ag producers. And I just don't think that most MAGA voters signed up and voted to hurt themselves. I mean, that's what's kind of happening now. But I don't believe that's why they voted for Donald Trump. Yeah. So think about that as you move forward and vote in elections this spring. Think about what candidates are saying in terms of how it will really affect you. Look at what is happening right now in D.C. and these cuts and what will really help you. It is 48 minutes past the hour of 6 o'clock. We're going to come back and do a little today in history, a little today in music history, and maybe we'll do a quick cooking segment. I forgot my fettuccine, though. we'll come back to it. Also, we got to get to this story about the state school superintendent race and a forum that was held yesterday. I'll correct myself because I was incorrect a little bit earlier.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Civic Media this morning. I'm Todd Albaugh along with Greg Bach. We are filling in for a vacationing Pat Kreitlow, Up North News Radio, and Pat will return in just a few days after his well-earned vacation at 8 minutes now before the hour of 7 o'clock. Time once again for Today in History. It is Friday, February 7th, 2025. But let's go back to 1970. Venus by the Shocking Blue hit number one.
I love that. Casey Kasem.
That's my hit, number one. That's right. Casey Kasem, Venus by the Shocking Blue, hit number one.
Listen to how country that sounds.
Right? I know. It's really good.
Love it.
That's a great song. I haven't heard that song in a long time.
Yeah.
That's a great song. 1964 on this date. Thousands of screaming fans greet the Beatles when their plane lands in New York. The scenes instantly become iconic images of Beatlemania. How many times have we seen those photographs and video? People just, they went absolutely apoplectic.
Good college word. That's definitely like a 1400 SAT word right there.
Right, exactly. I'll be Gilligan's Island for a second. They went apoplectic. Not only that, they were going crazy.
It's been a month since we ate. Feels more like 4 weeks, but okay, I guess.
Exactly. On this date in 1904, a fire begins in Baltimore, destroys over 1,500 buildings in 30 hours.
My goodness.
Oh. I mean, that's like the East Coast version of the Peshtigo fire right there.
There, yeah, exactly.
All right, 19. Oh my God, this is fantastic. One of my all time favorites. 1962, Garth Brooks was born. He is 62 years 62. Yeah. Garth Brooks.
Yeah.
All right. Do we have a little call in Baton Rouge?
Oh yeah, we do.
All right, fantastic. Here we go.
It's just a little bit of an intro, though, Todd. Here we go.
No, it's fine. I know. It's a great song. Listen to the fiddle, folks.
Ah. I still have never seen him live. And I
what
want-
a, really? Garth Brooks, 62 today. One of the best concerts of my life. I had the privilege of seeing him in a really small, comparatively venue when my sister was going to school out at Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and at Augustana University. And he played like the field house at Augustana College. And I mean, that if that thing sat, I don't know, 6,000, 7,000
at tops.
Maybe tops at 6,000. And he put on a performance that just, it was amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. So Garth Brooks, of course, it really was one of those people that transformed country music. He's still getting it done. I think he's doing a residency out in Vegas.
Yeah,
right?
I believe so, yeah. Yeah,
yeah,
love to go see that show.
I'd highly recommend it if you ever have a chance to see it, but that makes me feel old. Garth Brooks at 62. Also born on this date in 1935, Herb Cole, better known as nobody's senator but yours. He was an American businessman and politician. He passed away in 2023, but of course he was the one that saved the aforementioned Milwaukee Bucks. Also born on this date in 1867, Laura Ingalls Wilder, born in Wisconsin, of course,
nice.
And wrote the Little House books. Little House on the Prairie went on to be a big, big TV show as well. In 1804, John Deere, American blacksmith and businessman, of course, founded John Deere and Company. Boy, you see a lot of John Deere green as you traverse the highways and
Absolutely.
Byways of rural Wisconsin.
Absolutely.
Right? Absolutely. And this is fantastic right here. This is great. 1960, one of my favorite actors, James Spader, was born. He is 63 today. Boston Legal remains one of my all-time favorite shows.
I need to rewatch that show.
I got all five seasons on DVD.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm that old. and also 1965, Chris Rock. Chris Rock was born. He is 59 years old today, although they say he actually looks like 61 after Will Smith slapped him.
Dang. So I'm not sure. Dang.
1971, Linda Ronstadt and James Taylor record backup vocals to Neil Young's Heart of Gold,
yeah.
which becomes his biggest hit, a little Heart of Gold.
The song, the voices.
Right? As the character on SNL once said, like butter.
Like butter. Like a big stick of butter.
James Taylor, Linda Ronstadt, Hearts of Gold. And in 1976, Paul Simon said he really didn't like this song and didn't think it was nearly as good as Bridge Over Troubled Water. He thought it was kind of a hokey song, but it became Paul Simon's first number one song as a solo artist. 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover.
Problem is all inside your head, she said to me. The answer is easy if you take it logically. I'd like to help you in your struggle to be free. There must be 50 ways to leave your lover.
That song would go on to be Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth's theme song in life. 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover, Paul Simon. Great. One of my favorite songs, actually. One of my favorite songs. Also, Disney's Pinocchio premiered back in 1940, and the dissolution of the Soviet Union happened on this date in 1990. I remember that one
Me
as
too.
Well. So.
Me too.
There you go. Today in history, it is the 7th of February. It is 2 minutes before the hour of 7 o'clock. Back with Brittany Rillo, weather, Greg Bach, and Todd. It is Civic Media This Morning on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.